Mr. President, ambassadors, delegates, and friends of the NGOs, my name is Chris Ford, and I'm here from a public policy research institution in Washington, D.C., and I'm grateful for the chance to provide a bit of an alternative view of some of the issues that we've heard discussed here today. You've heard much about disarmament from NGOs gathered here today, and I'm glad to be able to speak to this subject as well, lest you get the false impression that what you have heard so far represents the views of all of civil society. Fortunately, I think, at least, it does not. To hear some tell it, and we have heard this today, nuclear deterrence is a terrible travesty, at best, a naive mistake, or really, in many people's views, more akin to criminal insanity. As I see it, anyone who insists upon such a starting assumption, however, is not interested in a meaningful or constructive dialogue with nuclear weapons possessors, and indeed with many other countries in the present international system, and will thus continue to pass up opportunities to make progress in reducing reliance upon nuclear weapons, the numbers of them in existence, and the risks that they present. Simply put, Mr. President, the problem is that nuclear deterrence isn't stupid or insane, and it is an important part of the security planning of numerous governments. Nuclear weapons possessors think that nuclear deterrence is vital and necessary. Many of their allies rely upon such deterrence in extended form, and other countries clearly seek nuclear weapons on the basis of what they claim, or suggest at least, is some need to deter others. On the whole, remarkably few, if any, governments appear to think nuclear deterrence entirely irrelevant, much less criminally insane. Still more removed are we from a world in which deterrence, per se, is no longer a factor in security planning at all. That world, indeed, is scarcely imaginable at all. One might as well plan for the abolition of locks, car alarms, and police constables. Deterrence as a phenomenon cannot be declared away, and it is simply a fact of life that one can indeed often prevent someone from taking some action by making clear that its cost will be unacceptable and outweigh any benefit. Therefore, the challenge for the disarmament community is not to reject the possibility of deterrence in its nuclear form, but rather to understand and work to lessen reliance upon it. If my colleagues were right that nuclear deterrence is simply lunacy, disarmament would not be so hard. I think most delegations here would probably agree with me in saying, when I say that most governments are not led by lunatics. But it takes clear thinking and sustained effort and sane to replace sane and well-established traditions of relying upon nuclear weapons with credible and intelligible alternatives. How tragic would it be for ideological blinkers to preclude the kind of engagement that is needed to replace nuclear deterrence by such alternatives? Deterrence in its most basic form is as old as one human's capability of harming another, and will not disappear even with the abolition of nuclear weaponry. Moreover, because the knowledge of the possibility of nuclear arms and basic information about how to fabricate them cannot be erased from human memory, and because nuclear materials and technologies for producing them remain dangerously widespread, at least some form of nuclear deterrence is likely to remain viable even were we to achieve abolition. As long as anyone has the option of weapons development afforded by the possession of fissile material and dual-use technology, nuclear deterrence will not wholly have disappeared. What we're talking about, therefore, or what we should be talking about, if disarmament politics and ideology permit us such honesty, is the challenge of shaping the future security environment in ways that make it progressively more unnecessary and more unwise to rely upon nuclear weapons for such deterrence. We will never be able to escape deterrence as a phenomenon, nor probably even that oblique form of nuclear deterrent, inherent in the continued existence of nuclear technology and material, that is, the availability of some kind of weapons option. But there is no law of nature that requires the actual existence of nuclear weapons. That is a policy choice. It is our challenge to make unchoosing that policy choice more of a viable option for national leaders in the real world. To do this, however, we must remember that we are indeed talking about the real world, and not some fantasy kingdom in which knowledge can be decreed away and human nature reshaped to our caprice. Our task is not entirely hopeless, but we do ourselves no favor by pretending that it is other than it is. Thank you very much.